Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Quality Power Electrical Equipment Limited Q3 FY25 earnings conference call, hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Nidhi from ICICI Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Welcome, everyone, to the Q3 FY25 conference call of Quality Power Electrical Equipment on behalf of ICICI Securities. Please note that this is their first call post a successful listing last month. We have with us Mr. Bharanidhar Pandian, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Mahesh Saralia, Whole-time Director, Mr. Shailesh Kumar Mishra, Independent Director, Mr. Rajesh Jairam, CFO, Mrs. Sarika Jadhav, Senior VP Finance, Mr. Sachin Shetty, VP Finance. First, we will have introductory comments from the management, post which we will have the Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir and ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Bharanidhar Pandian, and I'm the Managing Director here at Quality Power. I thank all of you who have joined our first maiden investor call. At the outset, I thank our key investors, anchors, and shareholders who have trusted and stood by us during the turbulent times in the post-IPO. We recognize and acknowledge this trust and are committed to delivering on our objectives with precision and efficiency. This listing marks a new phase for Quality Power, where we focus on leveraging our strengths to drive growth, technological advancement, industry leadership, and stakeholder growth. At this interaction post-listing, I would like to take a small moment to provide a brief overview of our company for the new joinees. As Quality Power, we are into two businesses. One is high-voltage electrical power equipment. Another is power quality solutions. Our products and solutions play a crucial role in the efficient transmission and distribution of electricity, renewable energy, grid interconnection, and energy transition, where we focus on a lot more complexity of electrical distribution and generation. We focus on our solutions on enhancing grid stability and reliability. Our high-voltage power products include reactors and line trucks, where we make up to 765 kV for a variety of applications, instrument transformers up to 500 kV, and we make small power special-purpose transformers for various applications, including data center, traction, and power electronics. Our power quality solutions include harmonic filters, capacitor banks, SVCs, and STATCOM, which are primarily delivered from our facility out of Turkey, that is Endox. With multiple manufacturing facilities in India and Turkey, we are strategically positioned to serve the growing demand for high-quality power equipment across various geographies, and we have demonstrated the same over the past two decades in over 100 countries. We also have a very strong in-house R&D capability, which helps us innovate and develop products and solutions for the emerging applications in power electronics, smart grids, and energy transition technologies. Among the other developments post-IPO, we have, as promised, acquired 51% of Nehru Electrical and Mechanical Engineers in Bhiwadi, that is in NCR, for about 120 crores, where we have now also joined our operations together, and we have invited the new family into our fold. Additionally, we have also, for the growth that we foresee in our businesses, we have taken decisive steps to expand our manufacturing capability based on heavy demand on our coil product lines. In the recent board meeting, the board has approved investments at a 10-acre facility that has already been acquired next to us at E5 and E6 in Sangli, and also enhanced capacity addition in Cochin, plant of ours. At this current moment in the Sangli business of power products, we have about 180 crores of order already booked, giving us more than a year's visibility, and about 450 crores of order, which have been almost negotiated and are awaiting POs at different points of time. To support our further growth strategy and to conserve free cash flow on the books, whatever we have, the board has also approved a 125 crore soft loan from the promoter family, at a repo plus 0.5, that is approximately 7%, with a 15-year tenure that can be extended and a 2-year moratorium that also can be extended, offering a flexible penalty-free repayment. This will help us ensure that all the free cash and profits being delivered by the company can go into growth capital as we expand in the near future due to the demand-supply mismatch in high-voltage product industry. Additionally, because of the options that have been given to the board has decided to create an M&A committee with 3 independent directors and 2 executive directors under my chairmanship to evaluate the different proposals in front of the board, enhancing strategic alignment with our long-term vision. Among the proposals, the board has also looked into the consideration that we have had with Statcon Energia, a company based in Noida with about 300 people and 170 crore revenue last year, into power electronic products similar to ours. And we would be taking post-negotiations and due diligence, a majority stake in the company. Apart from it, to evaluate other proposals, the committee will be sitting in the near future to look at and finalize other options as and when available. Also, the market, especially in India, where now we will see a lot more power infrastructure coming up, is what we see is driven by very heavy investments in transmission and distribution. So is in Europe and US. Even recently, as of day before yesterday, UK has made a 59,000 crore order commitment on HVDC and its product lines, again creating similar value chain across the globe. Quality Power, we have qualified for most of the projects across the globe and have the capacity and technological wherewithal to be able to address most of these solutions, given a capacity and support from the stakeholders, including supplier partners, customers, and shareholders. As we embark on this new chapter as a public listed company, our focus remains on capitalizing on growth opportunities, enhancing innovation, and solidifying our leadership in this industry. We remain steadfast in our focus on scaling operations, enhancing efficiencies, and driving long-term value creation for all stakeholders. I would like to again thank our investors for their trust and belief in our vision. We are committed to delivering sustainable growth over the long term and look forward to ongoing engagement with you as we execute the strategy. With this, I now hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. Rajesh, who will take you through the financial and operational highlights. Thank you. Over to Mr. Rajesh.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Baniran. I'm pleased to take you through the financials and operational performance of Quality Power Electrical Equipment Limited for Q3 and 9-month financial year 2025. For quarter 3 financial 2025, our revenue from operations was recorded at rupees 726 million, driven by strong execution of order book, strong demand, and improved product mix that enhanced realization. However, the revenues were partially impacted by product execution cycles. EBITDA for the quarter was rupees 174 million, reflecting a 63.2% year-on-year increase, with margins expanding to a record 24%. This growth was supported by better capacity utilization, operational efficiencies, and shift towards higher margin products. Our PAT grew by 44.6% year-on-year to rupees 196 million, with a PAT margin of 24.5%. The increase in profitability was driven by robust revenue growth, margin expansion, and disciplined cost management. For a 9-month period ending December 31st, 2024, we delivered revenue of rupees 2,283 million, EBITDA of rupees 490.5 million, reflecting a 174.4% year-on-year increase, with margins expanding to a record 21.5%, and PAT of rupees 696.5 million, grew by 83.5% year-on-year with PAT margin of 26.5%, showcasing our strong business fundamental and disciplined execution. Our order backlog remains strong at rupees 5,170 million, with an immediate order pipeline of rupees 7,000 million. The strong order inflow underscores sustained demand from the power transmission and distribution sectors. Post December 2024, we have further strengthened our business fundamentals through strategic investments and acquisition, as highlighted with Bhumidhar. We continue to focus on prudent capital allocation, cost optimization, and enhance our operational efficiency. Our balance sheet remains well-capitalized, supported by the funds raised through the IPO and a disciplined approach to financial management. Looking ahead, we are confident in sustaining growth by leveraging technological advancements, driving operational excellence, and executing strategic expansion initiatives. Our commitment to financial discipline and value creation remains unwavering, and we look forward to further strengthening our market position. With that, I conclude my remarks and open the floor for questions. Moderator, please proceed with the question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Hitesh from SBI General. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Sir, my question moreover pertains to the nature of the revenue for this quarter. We have seen a kind of, 50% kind of a dip in the revenue. I believe this is a significant change in the product mix because in the similar time, we have seen expansion in the gross margin also. So just wanted to understand the nature of the products which we have sold during the quarter and how this, trend will be going forward. This is my first question. And on the second question, sir, on the margin front, though we have seen a significant growth in the margin, I just want to understand and thought process from you especially that is this a peak margin what we have clocked or the margin expansion is still possible from here on? I have more questions to ask. We start from the first two questions.
Good afternoon, sir. So this is Barney here. I will answer your first question. The margin on margin, the quarter on quarter numbers are, I believe, it's a new discipline that we will continue to inculcate and improve upon as we go ahead as a young company. This is something that we did not really focus upon earlier. And however, highlighting what has happened is last year, the lot of jobs of Q2 and Q4 had gone into Q3. That is why if you look at the last Q4 of last year, you would see a revenue, a very small revenue that has seen in Q4. So whereas this Q4, looking at the way it is and our numbers, you would see a significant jump. It is nothing but because our discipline of quarter to quarter was not there earlier. That is point one. Point two is that what we say, some of the jobs, in Turkey, which are typically a high value orders, has not really, been delivered on time because of customer requirements on civil and other issues. We believe it will get located in the what we delivered in the next few quarters. However, at the end of the year, we only see growth. We would see a lot more difference in the Q4. That is on the sales and number side. On with regards to the margin, I believe we the demand and supply is what is driving margins in most of the high voltage product segments, including my peers in the lifted space. I believe for the current moment, or I would say in the next 1 to 3 years, we do not see any drastic difference unless there's a dollar or a metal or disruption across the industry or a geopolitical risk.
So, sir, is it the right understanding that our margin is likely to be in this range only, that 24% what we have clocked it?
I would believe that we should be around 20%, sir. I believe it is sustainable for a medium term, short to medium term.
Okay. And, sir, on the other hand, the next question is about the strategic acquisitions you are planning of Strategica. So, what is the product line of the business and what kind of a revenue we have seen for that company, how it has grown over the next 2 to 3 years, and how, what kind of synergies are we going to, you know, see from that acquisitions, and how that, you know, how that company is going to help, you know, power, quality power in terms of, you know, our future growth prospect.
So I would like to split the question into two options. The first option, the two segments. The first segment has been about Nehru. Nehru is something that we have already declared during the DRHP stages and the RHP stages. Nehru is into high voltage instrument transformers up to 500 kV. They have a factory in Bhiwadi with about 500 plus employees. This is a complementary product to our high voltage, what we say, high voltage reactors and line traps, where we see a lot more, what we say, combined offerings to our global customers. We believe that what we say, we will be able to sell their products and solutions in the global markets where we have a very strong presence. Also, their engineers who are working on other high voltage products and segments would be used to us in our combined R&D. They have about 5 high voltage Teslas where they are also having almost close to 100 engineers working on technology. That is on Nehru, where we share common customers across the globe. With regards to Statcon, they are similar to our businesses in power electronics with Endox. Their primary products are battery energy storage, where they have been delivering what we say, between 250 to 500 kilowatt energy storage solutions for commercial and industrial customers. They are also supplying battery chargers for high voltage substations and defense applications, which is a bouquet of our other high voltage products to our customers, especially in the EPC and what we say, high voltage customer base. They are also into rectifier power electronics, including green hydrogen. They have the first mover advantage, having supplied NTPC and other defense applications, the first green hydrogen projects in the country, having already delivered a high power rectifier and standing chance to increase upon their product offering. They are also having inverters and converters for renewable and defense applications, especially with regards to the new power electronics being inculcated in the renewable space. And on the power quality space, again, which is significant to us, they are making STATCOMs and small power active filters in the low voltage retail and commercial space. So we believe that for all our businesses, they are in the similar ecosystem, and hence that is why the board has approved that.
And sir, how are we going to fund the that acquisition?
The GCP, when we raised the money for the IPO, already allowed us close to 60 crores for another unidentified acquisition. We are using the money from the IPO and not from anywhere else.
So you said 170 crore of acquisition. What is the size of the acquisition, sir, the amount-wise?
That is yet not disclosed, sir. It will be told when the entire transaction post due diligence, but will be within the range of the money that is being raised.
Okay. And I believe
that has happened at this moment is it will be a primary-only transaction.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. I would request you to rejoin the queue for your follow-up question. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nimesh Sundar from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Sir, I just wanted to understand on the Statcon acquisition. So what could be the potential margins for the company? Like, would it be in line with what our current sustainable margins you've guided of 20%? Would it be in line with that or slightly in variation to that?
So most of the companies that we buy, we believe in the product and the business line. It is up to our capability that we are able to increase their margins over a period of time. Both Nehru and Statcon have much lower margins than us. So as a combined margin, it may be looking lower, but as standalone businesses, we will be doing fine. But we have drastically improved the Nehru, the margins. If you look at last year, their numbers were on a sale of about give and take 213 crores. They had done a bit of about 13 plus crores. And in the 9 months, they have done almost 180 crores with an EBIT of about 18 crores. So you could see that once you go in, we normally try to improvise. And this is about 9 months of a relationship with them. The same thing you could expect with other companies that we enter. Because when you go into very high margin businesses, which are already doing very, very well, normally you will have to pay a lot more premium. and we believe in our ability to be able to improve margins.
Okay. And sir, when could we see the acquisitions materialize and near completion?
I believe we have been given a 3-month mandate. We should be able to wrap it subject to our due diligence. I believe the next 45 days is what we are targeting internally, but that the board has given us a 3-month mandate.
Okay. And so secondly, your business mix now is mostly concentrated towards the export market, but now with the Meru acquisition and this new acquisition on the horizon, so how could we see the mix change over the next 1 to 2 years?
I believe even on our own product line, you could see the new HVDCs that are being announced in this country. The STATCOMs that are being announced, these are all mega orders that are coming in. You can see the amount of new renewable energy projects that are coming in. I believe for the immediate few quarters, the Indian, the Indian revenue would increase. Also, a lot of manufacturing revenue would increase, which would also stabilize our quarter-on-quarter numbers. However, as we again then push for these products in the global markets, we would again try to flow back to at least 60 being export.
Okay, and so just one last thing on the capex that you have said. So on the it is a pretty large capex. So how would you see the potential revenue from this on the peak front, and in the near term, how could you see the revenue from this capex?
So as we declared, we have more than about 182 crores of order book as of now, and about 450 crores of orders which are close to completion or negotiation. So with a margin of around 20%, that already delivers us about 128 plus crores out of this. The cash and cash equivalents on our company based on the new profits that we are generating is in excess of 60-65 crores. So I believe that we should be able to deliver the capex with our own, reserves and the money that we'll be delivering out of profits in the next 1 or 2 years. However, we would like to retain our profits as a company for further growth initiatives in the inorganic phase. That is why the promoter have decided to give a very, very soft loan. Basically, the depreciation and the interest would be more or less same. So at any point of time, if we are sitting on a free cash flow and we do not have an acquisition around the quarter or the year, the board, subject to board clearance, we may even prepay the loan. At this moment, we do not want to use the reserves to fund the capex. That's the only reason why we have used it. We wanted to use it for growth capital.
Okay, thank you so much, sir. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naman Parmar from Nivesha Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, Pandyan sir. So firstly, I just wanted to know how much the coil product would be contributing in your total revenue.
I believe the way the things are going on, it will be at this moment around close to 50%. But I believe going ahead in the future, it will be far higher than 50.
Okay. And secondly, in the current order book, the 517 crore, so how much it would be contributing from different economy? Any major economy would be contributing major to this order book? So can you give the bifurcation for that?
We do not have technically a bifurcation at this moment. However, I would say it is fairly spread between Europe, Australia, Middle East, and India. There is not much of a presence in the U.S. at this moment. We have some few orders, but I would say it's less than 5 crores from the U.S.
Okay. And
on India also.
And on the Meru Electrical side, so current quarter that revenue that has been shown on the presentation, so there is some revenue related to the fabrication that that is shown that should be revenue. So how much would be that revenue in the current quarter?
Because we are not able to consolidate the number because we only acquired them on March 6th. So as per Ind AS requirement, we would start consolidating them, I would say, technically from the first quarter of next year. Most probably even STATCOM. But I believe because we removed all the low-value, low-hanging, high-labor content businesses, one of that is where they were fabricating CTPT small tanks. We believe we could have multiple suppliers for that at a cheaper cost, and it was a very highly labor intensive, almost 350 people in that business, so we removed out. I believe the total impact of that would be about 1.5 crores maximum. So we removed a lot of future liabilities as a part of the transaction.
Okay, yeah, understood. And lastly, on the if you see on a standalone basis, so how much revenue potential can you do without the capex? And after that, the capex going live, how much the additional revenue you can do?
So at this moment, we are almost close to being maxed out in our current facilities that we have. That is why we are expanding all the facilities that we have, including Cochin. We have done a small amount of incremental machine addition even in our existing facilities. However, if you look at what the growth potential looks like, because we start the coil products year starts from April, we are starting off with 182 crore already and about a 450 crore likely to come in the near term. We believe we will not be in a position to handle about 800 or 900 crore of order book in the current facility. So we will need a facility at least 3 to 4x our capacity. We believe the new investments will go at least 8 to 9x of our current capacity. So that is why we are spending a little bit more money so that we are able to go to the market in a stronger way. As a part of our IPO, we have already raised a lot of money for the machinery, for backward integration of cable manufacturing and test equipment. So I believe some of the investments are already being done, including the cost of land.
So you are telling from the current facility, you are already at the maximum capacity utilization. And you are expanding capacity and it will be coming by the next 12 to 15 months, right? So on a standalone basis, there will be not major growth, but the growth will be coming from the acquisition that you have done, the Meru Electrical and the other player, and Endox and all that. Is it understanding correct?
Your understanding is correct. But most of the orders, the high value orders that we are picking up right now, have a delivery period between 18 and 36 months, which means by the time we come for execution, we are already having the facility. We would see a significant increase in order growth in our coil product facility by the time that we finish the factory.
Okay, yeah, understood. And lastly, on the Nibisky, the EMS business, the energy management system, that the 15% or 16% stake that you have taken in that company. So I just wanted to understand on the energy management, the software that the company is providing is how is different from the SCADA software that is provided by the various MNC players like Siemens, Schneider, ABB.
So the product is technically not our EMS what they are doing. They are doing something called edge computing. Edge computing is a software, is more of an ML software, machine learning. It's a regression on a large data that you get based on the data that flow through a normal SCADA system. In case of a network disruption or due to whatever the reason, the computer or the device is able to take a decision itself. We believe, and there is already proven in places like Australia, US, where going forward there will be a lot of unmanned substations going on because there is a huge shortage of skilled technical engineers to man the amount of substations that globally people are building in. It will not be possible over the next few decades that you will have every substation manned. So when we go into an unmanned substation, we will need to connect all the high voltage devices out of our group, including the power electronics and the power products that we have. When we are connecting these devices, internet network can get disrupted at any time. So due to that, we will need to have a kind of edge computer or a machine learning device which will be able to communicate with the system in case of a network disruption for its continued operation. So instead of spending the money on ML and AI engineers internally, we have decided to invest so that we have access to the technology and refusal of the technology to the competition. So for them, that is a technology that they are encompassing. That is what they are spending money on. EMS is to get the cash flows on for that company.
Okay. Means basically you are providing, the company is providing a computing sensor and all that will be able to communicate with the high voltage various electronics equipment with the SATCOM devices.
It will be like a small device which will be monitoring all the data traffic which is going through it. And based on the data and the decision taken, it will be learning itself. at some point of time, when the command does not come, it will be able to take a decision itself based on past data. So that is a device that is called edge computer, and we believe this edge computer will be on most of the high voltage devices going ahead in the future in unmanned substation space.
Okay. So this is the first company to produce this or manufacture this electronic equipment, or there are various other players also that are doing this?
There are a lot of people who are doing it in-house as a part of R&D, because we know that the technologies will shift to connected ecosystems over a period of time. What we have done is, instead of hiring ML and AI engineers, we have decided to outsource it by buying an equity. That's all.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much for answering all the questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surbhi Saroji from SMIFS Capital Market. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, ma'am, you are.
Sir, my question is, the first question is that revenue has declined both quarter and quarter and year on year, and for 9 months also, both at the standalone and consolidated level. So what is the reason for this decline?
Ma'am, the standalone has not declined. As we say that, if you look at the standalone number, we are almost close to 112 crores of sales as against 117 crores of last year. It is just that the Q2 or Q3 of last year has been exceptionally high, like the Q1 of this year. If you look at the Q1 of this year, out of the 50 crore PAT of the first half, almost 36 crores came from the Q1, and 14 crores came from the Q2. Because we did not have the discipline earlier on a quarter-on-quarter number, which we realized a mistake at this moment, you are seeing such high variations. However, with the improved management focus and what we say, the new companies which are more manufacturing, where the variability of income is not very high, we believe in the next 2 or 3 quarters, it should ease out or even out. So it is just that the Q3 was kind of a blip and nothing more.
Okay. And sir, can you give some revenue and profit guidance for the full year, financial year 25, and also for financial year 26?
I believe at this moment, what we say, we are looking at a positive increase on revenue rather than any decrease. That is point one. Point two is, I do not know whether I'm allowed to speak about future revenue and guidance. However, I can tell you that Nehru has done almost 220 crores last year, and Staqon has done about 170 crores last year, which would get added to whatever we have already done. So that would be the kind of numbers you can look at and the growth that is immediately viable, visible to us.
Okay. And sir, another question is that any growth in revenue for Nehru and Staqon for over financial year 24 and also for financial year 26?
We shall be at this moment, sir, ma'am, instead of growth at their side, because we've already growth as a consolidated, we have already grown. Our focus at this moment with both the companies would be improvement on margin and margin, what we say, percentages, including integration of management. That would be our immediate focus before we scale them up. We would rather, focus on the grounds and the structure below the company. We would like to focus on the key management people, the culture integration, people integration, and profit and customer change. That's what our focus is, not growth at this moment with both the companies.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sagar Tanna from Alchemy Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. If you can give a breakup of the first 9 months versus the last 9 months in terms of our product portfolio, what percentage of revenues came from what product segments? That would be helpful.
At this moment, I believe we are close to 50-50, both power products and power solutions. However, the forward guidance would be the power solutions would be about 20-25% of the total business.
When we say power products, means predominantly it would be coils. Is my understanding correct?
At this moment, it will be predominantly coil. in the order intake, but on the delivery, it will be instrument transformers, because instrument transformers have a higher balance sheet from a Meru perspective. But in about 15 months time frame, because where we have to execute all the new orders being booked, I believe internally the coil products will be the largest group inside the company that will deliver the top line and bottom line in the future.
Correct. This is for the first, the 9 months FY25. And what about 9 months FY24? What was the revenue split, sir?
I believe...
So we did 262 crores last year for the first 9 months. If you can...
I believe it has been traditionally been around 40-60. Power products being 40 and 60. That has been an approximate number given today. The power solutions have always been bigger internally. But at this moment, because we are growing at a far higher rate than the other businesses, so we would be a little more dominant.
Got it. And sir, in your press release, you've given four product segments or four different segments of businesses, which is coil products, transformers, instrument transformers, and power quality. Can you give a broader margin range in terms of what would be the gross margin ranges across these four segments?
What I can do is I can talk about what we have already delivered in the 9 months and what is historical. So if you look at Meru, it is now close to 10%. At this moment, I think between 10 and 11. That is what Meru is at this moment in the 9 month number. For the power products and power solution, that is Endox portion of it, quality power and Endox, I believe we should be slightly north of 20%. And with regards to Statcom, because we are still not acquired, I would not be able to comment on that.
And on the coil products, sir?
Most of the coil products, I would say north of 20 at this moment. Because
got
most
it.
Of the
orders
are looked at that margins. Yeah.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mahesh Bendre from LIC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I'm sorry, I'm not able to understand. The revenues for the quarter has been declined by 49%, and even for 9 months, the decline has been 13%. So I'm not able to understand why such a sharp decline.
So the revenue you are comparing with the last year, where we had two things which was very significant. If you look at Q3 of last year, year to year, Q4, we had only done 30 crores. Whereas the what we say that quarter alone did in excess of 50 or 60 crores. So because we had what we say very large Q3 of last year, it seems at this moment that we are down. But technically, I believe it is not so bad. We have grown every quarter internally. Endox, which is our power solution, power quality business, they have a couple of projects which are lagging because the customer offtake has not been on time. Weekly, we will be able to match up. At this moment, as I said, we will be only looking at a growth trajectory. It looks because the last quarter, if you look at the last quarter of that last year, we have been only about 30 crores, give and take. Whereas, which is a very, very small number, historically, even if you see what the 9 month numbers look like. So, this would also reverse in Q4, where we will show a huge growth because of what happened in the Q3 last year.
Okay. Out of the total revenue, how much the production has we done from India and how much is from the Turkey?
At this moment, about 50-50 at this moment, sir. That is what we foresee technically, approximately.
Okay. And sir, last question from my end is the expansion we are talking about, will that happen only in India or is it that the expansion we are looking at overseas facility as well?
In the overseas facility, we have almost 40 acres of land on the books of the account close to Ankara. That is the capital of the country. We have the people. As and when the demand kicks in, because what they are growing right now is because of the Turkish economy slightly muted, where they are the leading players because of the geopolitical situation. As and when we see that the Turkish economy is back to square one, we have enough money and customers to be able to expand there. At this moment, there is a huge shortage of coil products across the globe. We are one of the very, very few people across the globe and maybe the only person in India to deliver this product. So almost all the money that we are spending on CapEx is going to the coil products. In Meru, we have been having discussions to start the 765 kV line of the instrument transformers. We may see a small CapEx in the next few quarters at Meru also.
No, but some majority of CapEx will happen in India, right? Indian facilities.
Correct. Correct.
Okay. Okay. And sir, last question. I mean, some of the components like STATCOM, which are used in STATCOMs and high-end transmission, that we manufacture basically in Turkey, right? And in India, basically, we manufacture transformer as of now.
No, sir. We make the power electronics and software in Turkey. In India, we make the coil products, transformers, instrument transformers, and the harmonic filter solution. So all the high voltage electrical equipment where we are using man in the factory, we are using in India. The power electronics and software is what is based out of Turkey.
Okay, sure. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants, please limit your question to 2 per participant. If you have a follow-up question, I would request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Bhavik Shah from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir. So my question is regarding the EBITDA. I can see.
Sir, I cannot hear you. Can you be louder?
Yeah. Hello, sir. Am I audible now?
Can you repeat it?
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
So my question is regarding the EBITDA margins. Like, we can see a sharp increase. The reason being the other expenses have decreased significantly. So what are those other expenses which are not incurred this quarter? And what is the fixed cost run rate we can take?
One second, sir. I will give it to my senior vice president finance, Sarika, who will speak about the other expenses and the other cost. What you just asked on the cost one. Just one second.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello. Sir, our employee cost and our finance cost remain stable. Wherever our other expenses. Because of because of foreign exchange gain loss, that is because of hyperinflationary accounting treatment. So that is because of hyperinflationary accounting that the other expenses go down. Because of that foreign exchange net monetary foreign exchange gain or loss, that our other expenses has been decreased, and because of that, there is certain improvement in our gross margin.
When we use
the IFRS for the foreign currency translation of our account statement from Turkey, they also have a IAS 29, that is an accounting treatment on how they handle foreign exchange regulations. So wherever our price variation clause is taken positive, it will also take a negative at certain time. Because Turkey, the hyperinflation is coming down, so the negative impact has become neutralized and it's only positive income. But this is how the accounting treatment of the solution is. However, most of our orders are hedged to the dollar, and hence it has nothing to do with what we say expense or cash flow. It is just a accounting adjustment of where it is, the number is put in.
Understood, sir. So what is the fixed cost run rate quarterly or annually which we can take going ahead?
I'm sorry, sir, we did not understand the question. I will just ask one of my colleagues to work on it. Can you go to the next question till my colleague works on it, the number?
Yeah, sure.
I will reply to the next question.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. May I request you to please use your handset?
Yeah, ma'am, I'm using the handset. Is it not audible?
Now it's much better. Can you please repeat your question?
Yeah. So our order book is around 517 crores. So what is the timeline for execution of this order book? And sir, regarding the order pipeline, what has been our success rate in getting the orders out of the historical success rate of getting the orders?
So most of the orders that we have signed on is having a delivery between 12 to 18 months at this moment. The orders that we will sign on have a larger delivery period of between 12 and 36 months because these are linked to HVDC. That is the delivery. So I believe our capex will catch up by then. That is point one. point two, when you are asking me a fixed cost run rate, this is, can you please explain the terminology?
So basically, basically I'm trying to understand how can we operating leverage here. Because like, for example, we have 30 crores of or 20 crores of fixed cost quarter. That will remain irrespective of the execution we do. So I'm just trying to understand the operating leverage that will come into play. So irrespective of our order execution, some cost will remain.
Our fixed costs are very low because most of the assets are owned. I would say 99% of the assets are owned. The labor and labor overheads are very close to negligible to the profits and the money, even the, I'm believing the amount of cash we are sitting on hand, the interest costs are higher than the fixed costs are payable.
Okay. Yes, and sir, regarding our historical order book win, so out of this 700 crores, how much orders can we win basically?
Out of the order book of 500 crores, what do you want?
No. Out of the pipeline of 700 crores, like how much orders can we win? So what has been our historical win rate?
So these are stuff that we are very close to confidence. That's why we are able to deliver the number. Our historical win rate in HVDC and fax business in India is 1. So every strike we make in India is normally 1. Globally, we are 1:3 or 1:4.
Thank you so much. For the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Majid from TradeWalk Research LLP. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So my first question is the delay in the Leh project due to the fact that it is a VSC-based order, which is the latest technology in India, and thus facing implementation challenges, or is there any other reason for the delay? And my second question is, additionally, could you clarify the difference between LCC and VSC orders, and which would be more beneficial for us? Also, given the government's focus on HVDC projects, which type of HVDC orders is it prioritizing?
I will answer your question, sir. The delay in any power quality solution can be either during engineering or the customer approval, or the project life cycle where the product being delivered is delayed, or at the election level where the civils of the location site are delayed, because these are all heavy electrical infrastructure equipment. So there is about 3 variables that come into picture. At this moment, I believe this is during the operational delay where the delays of equipment are getting delayed. Across the life cycle, not only for us, for most of the peers also in the similar business. That is point one. The point two on VSC and MCC, HVDC, we supply to both. Both have similar requirement of our product lines. We support both the technologies, be it HVDC or in STATCOM or S3C, where again they have a difference between thyristor and IGBT. Our products are required in every technology that they come in, and we are qualified for all the technologies with all the major players for supply.
Okay, sir. So where do you see the major growth between LSC and VSC?
I believe the global growth or the Indian growth is based on fax business, that is flexible AC transmission, where the government has made a mandate that 33% of all renewable energy parks will need to have a fax device. We believe that with every solar park, there is going to be a demand of our equipment. With every wind park, there is going to be a demand of our equipment. And with every HVDC. So HVDC is far and few in India. Maybe we will have another 2 more coming up in this year. But facts, we are seeing almost 3 or 4 projects every month. And globally, when I look at it, it's the other way. They are focusing more on HVDC. If you look at in Europe, in TenneT, that is a Netherlands utility, very small country, has given more than 30 billion euros of order in 2023. UK is another small country where HVDC of 59,000 crore has been given a couple of days back. We believe the HVDC potential of the world is where you need to watch out for. The few qualified suppliers outside of China, there are 2 in Austria and 1 of us. So the amount of capacity that we can deliver will also be a bottleneck what these projects would come up with.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akub Khan from A3 Investing. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. You're audible.
Sir, I have only one question. for next quarter, that is Q4, are we expecting a similar number of numbers, or will be there any expected growth will be there?
Sir, I believe it's a forward-looking signal, Mr. Khan, but what I can assure you, there will be a growth.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sarvam from Shine Star. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Loud and clear.
Yeah. Just one question, sir. If you could just summarize the assets that you have on the book. I believe with the recent acquisitions also, there would have been some more acquisition of assets such as land and machinery. If you could just talk about, for example, your land bank and summarize that, and if potentially and prospectively, what would be the market value of that land as on today, if you could talk about that.
Sir, as a conservative South Indian management, we normally like to buy rather than lease, even though we believe lease is better from a financial point of view. The land bank, what we are sitting in Sangli, it's about 15 acres, we believe is give and take at a market value would be about close to 100 crores. The place what we have in Cochin may be about 5-6 crores. In Delhi, Nehru is sitting on a 5-acre land bank in Bhiwadi, that is NCR region, very close to the Lenskart factory. We believe as per the rack rate, it is about 125 crores. That is the land alone, not the building of the square feet, the building on top of it. Stackcon, we believe they have close to 3.5 acres of land in Noida. Again, would be in excess of about 60-65 crores in land. In Turkey, we are sitting at about 40 acres of land, which would, I believe, in a best case scenario, would be about 70 to 90 crores of value.
Got it. Thank you. Thank
Plus
you.
The office buildings and stuff which is in downtown, we believe that would be about 50 crores. Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Abhi Mainwala from Vice Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
So, 20% EBITDA margin is standalone or blended? Hello?
The EBITDA margin, I believe, is blended, sir, right now to you.
And in DRHP, there is a forecast for HVDC and FACT market of around 70% CAGR. So are we going at same pace?
So the order book, what we have given, showed you about 450 crores, give and take on the power product business. Almost 70 to 80% of it would be going into HVDC and FACTS. And same way, Endox is also into FACTS. So we believe that everything is what we have declared is online. So compared to last year, I think if we see it to the order book, what we have, the what we are generating, I think our CAGR is slightly much higher than the 70 or 80%.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
This is Dani here again. Thank you for joining our Q3 con call. In summary, I want to thank you all for your time, and we reiterate it that we are committed to the future and look forward to continuing our post-IPO journey with your support. If you have any further questions, I would be happy to answer them either over a private call, or you can come through us through our investor relation advisors, Churchgate Partners, and we will be happy to address your queries. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.